Forever. Amen. Praise to you. First reading is Psalm 22, verses 22 to 27. I will declare your name to my brothers, the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May our hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Second reading is from the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company. For their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the great assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, "But we knew nothing about this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay for each person according to what he has done? Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. For the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious, for those too will send sudden destruction upon them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, reading at the first verse. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to the law, to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivers me over to you has a greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered them over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which is in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common response here on page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord,
dear friends in Christ, grace and peace and love to you from God and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, to hear your word and to take it into our hearts and into our whole being, so that we might be able to discharge this life and live entirely up to you. For we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and crucified Savior, who has risen again. Amen. I was going to thank Mike for asking me to preach here this morning, and then he sent me the text. Somebody has said, before you offer to preach, you ought to see what happens in the text. Because it seems funny to me that we would have this text of the crucifixion, the trial and the suffering of Jesus, so shortly after the Sunday of the Holy Spirit, just 2 days into the season of Pentecost, this teaching season of the church. And it makes you wonder, are we trying to teach the hardest part first and get it over with? Here we have to teach on the Holy Spirit and the triune God. And now we have to explain what happened at the crucifixion and the resurrection. Is it because some of us have not grasped the full extent of our guilt, along with the mixed emotions of indebtedness and adoration? Or is it because some have got hung up on the guilt and have never started to live in the joy that confession and forgiveness can bring into a person's life, and then turn with adoration that is a result of this great drama that the Lord in Christ should manifest in the hearts and in the lives of each Christian? John not only tells us about the trial of Jesus, it also portrays the struggle between the conscience of Pilate and his political future. The verdict of Pilate's own conscience is loud and clear. Over and over we hear him say, I find no fault in this man. Pilate knows that Jesus is innocent of the charges that have been brought against him. He even knows that the Jewish leader have brought these false charges because of envy and jealousy of Jesus, that he would strip them of their power, their riches, and their control of the people. Pilate's conscience tells him that there is a different and unusual something about this man that he can't quite understand. Each answer that Jesus gives Pilate to his questions reinforces this view that this is more than just a good man. Then the Jewish leader bring the charge against Jesus, claims that he is the Son of God, and Pilate was even more afraid. Pilate then tries various ways to get rid of this problem in front of him. He wants to trade Jesus for Barabbas, the known criminal, who he would gladly get rid of. When that doesn't work, then he wants to send him to Herod. I'll send him over to Herod to let him deal with this troublesome person that I can't seem to understand. And finally, he has him scourged and tries to set him free. But each time that Pilate makes a move, the Jewish leaders push Pilate farther and farther into his political corner. He's afraid of losing control of the mob and needing to look bad in the eyes of the Romans. Finally, when his wife sends word to him to have nothing to do with this good man, because I have greatly troubled with him in a dream, Pilate panics and washes his hands to somehow pacify his own gods. In the end, to avoid looking bad in the eyes of Rome, he gives in and says, "Take him yourself and crucify him." However, I imagine that was not the end of Pontius Pilate. A few years ago, my wife and I went on a tour of Europe. And one of the places we stopped in Europe was Lucerne in Switzerland. And there we came face to face with a mountain that was called the Mount Pilatus. My wife was brave enough to go up on this cog cart wheel thing, but I stayed at the bottom. But anyway, their legend has it that Pilate, after he had completed his tour in Palestine, came to Switzerland, to Lucerne, to Mount Pilatus, which wasn't named that at the time. He climbed that craggy peak, and from the top, he threw himself down to his death. This is really the whole juggernaut of Lent and Easter. What do all of us, what does all of humanity do with this incarnate Son of God who came and gave himself up to die on the cruel cross so that each one of us could receive forgiveness from our sins? How do we interact? And how does Jesus interact with our families, with our own perceived needs, hopes, and dreams? Are we in our own self-made pressure cookers prepared to give it all up and follow the Son of God who demands all that we have and all that we will ever hope to be? If you have ever seen the motion picture, The Robe, you might agree that the Roman soldier who won the seamless robe of Christ at the foot of the cross was caught in the same dilemma. He was the centurion who led this group that did the crucifixion. And he wrung the robe of Christ. He was probably standing there when one of the soldiers said, "Surely this man is the Son of God." When he went to pick up the robe in the movie, he found it was scalding to his hand, and he gave it to one of his servants who happened to be a Christian. Later, when his tour was over, he returned to Rome, and he started to turn mad. And he found his condition getting worse and worse and worse, and he decided it was because of the curse of the robe. And so he made up his mind that he would go back to Palestine, he would find the robe and he would destroy it, therefore releasing him from his curse. Fortunately for him in the movie, when the centurion went back to Palestine and found the robe, it was in the possession of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter led the centurion to Christ to show him the love and the compassion that God had when he sent his own son to suffer and die. He pointed out to the centurion how he had been released and forgiven right from the cross. The centurion soon became a Christian. And later, when he returned to Rome, he saved the life of one of the apostles. But in so doing so, he was captured, taken before Caesar, and was sentenced to execution. When he was walking away fiercely to his death, he said, "Who, having the choice of going home to my Father in heaven, would live in this hell called Rome?" Can we, as pastors, follow this Peter? Can we follow Peter and all the apostles who gladly gave up all they had in the world to serve Christ, to walk with him, to know him and to understand the great love that was there in this person, this incarnate Son of God, to give it all to God and accept the grace and love that Jesus has earned for all of us? Maybe more relevant for each of us as pastors, can we lead others to this Jesus? Can we lead our people to this love and joy and freedom that surpasses everything that is real and true and worthwhile in this world of tears and struggles and disappointment? To give their hopes and dreams to God, to honor his Son who has such unconditional love that he would willingly go to the cross, suffer and die that we might have eternal life. May God bless and strengthen and deliver all of us to come closer to what God would have in store for each one of us. May we obey his will. May we walk with him. And may we turn our lives over to the care and redemption of his beloved Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We acknowledge you to be the Lord of the earth.
Almighty and everlasting God, you would have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. By your mighty power and unsearchable wisdom, break and hinder all the counsels of those who hate your word, and who by corrupt teaching would destroy. Enlighten them with the knowledge of your glory, that they may know the richness of your heavenly grace, and in peace and righteousness serve you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them by patience and comfort of your holy word. May we embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, whose mercies are new to us every morning, we humbly pray that you look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Keep safe our going out and our coming in, and let your blessing remain with us throughout the day. Preserve us in your righteousness, and grant us a portion in that eternal life, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray together the Collect for Grace on page 228. O Lord, our heavenly Father,
almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant us this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.
Thank you. last thing. Those of you who are leading worship, come get a yellow sticky note from me and write down what's happening. I can't remember and I can't find it.